Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I do think they're gonna use Cam Newton in some way, shape, or form. I could see them coming up, you know, with a red zone package of plays, or just to let him get comfortable in the offense. Because, you know, Stidham's going to be the starter. Because Stidham is going
Rick,
to...
You think he's starting week one, guaranteed?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Boomer's 100%. Been saying this all
time. I know you have. I know.
Even though Newton's been getting more of the first team reps.
Guys, you don't understand how hard it is to learn a new offense. That's why I think Daniel Jones kind of starts a little bit behind the eight ball again this year, because he's got to learn another offense, another coaching staff, the way that they discuss things. And every coach does it differently. And the one thing we know about Josh McDaniels up there in New England, this offense is about precision and timing and understanding, you know, where everybody is on the field. And I don't care if you're a 9-year quarterback or a 10-year quarterback, it's impossible overnight to learn all of that. And yet you're in the midst of a pandemic, so you have no preseason games, you have very little practice time, and you're going to ask this guy to go out there and be your starting quarterback in week one? I just don't see it.
It's Boomer Esiason on WFAN, Murray. Again, it's hour three here of Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. He's on the CBS pregame show. You don't think he's a prominent National Football League voice?
No, he is, and does a lot with Westwood One. And that is technically a very prominent voice in the NFL.
You
know,
that was a fair tease that you gave to that.
Okay,
audio.
So then what do you make of his comments yesterday that Stidham is still the starter?
He's behind the times a little bit. I think that at one point he would have been right, maybe, a couple of months ago. But it has been the summer, and his want to do in this business, and you're a prominent sports talk host like Boomer is now, on WFAN, you tend to take a lot of vacation. So maybe he's been in the Hamptons and has missed the fact that Stidham has gone by the wayside here. He has this injury, doesn't feel like he's got the job anymore. In fact, it sounds very much like that when Stidham spoke yesterday, and he sounded just like a backup. And the other part is at the end, the way he wraps up there saying no offseason, no preseason games, and Cam's going to be your starter. Well, it's basically the same argument you would have against Jared Stidham, isn't it, or anyone? So I just think he probably had good intel. I just think it's old intel because all signs point to it being Cam Newton.
I agree. I think he's just out of the loop a little bit. Because even today they have a scrimmage there in the stadium, and Newton was clearly running with the ones. There's like a blue team and a white team, and Newton was with Edelman and Sanu and Harry and, you know, what you consider the first receiver group. And then the white team had Stidham and Hoyer splitting snaps with the bottom of the depth chart. You know, and I don't have the names in front of me, but the Olszewskis, the Jacoby Myers, guys like that. So it feels like Cam Newton's taken over, that Jared Stidham had it. I believe Jared Stidham had it at one point this offseason and lost it. We haven't heard from Jimmy Stewart's phone in a while. Does Jimmy Stewart's phone have anything new?
Yeah.
Jimmy, and I'm not even asking Jimmy. I just want to know from Jimmy Stewart's phone. What do you think? What's the latest?
I haven't gotten anything since the last update, so I don't want to just make stuff up.
But what do you think? So, I mean, refresh me. What did your phone think of?
Oh God,
Jared
there's
Stidham
so much content in my phone. You'll have to be more specific.
You think Stidham leaving for Texas was a factor in all of this?
Yes, I do. 100%. Stidham leaving for Texas to go to a wedding and not completing their off-season program was a factor in Cam Newton being here.
Huh.
And a tip off there is that, as Stidham told us, they signed Newton while he was in Texas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We wondered about the timing there. Well, maybe it was the kid went to Texas to go to a wedding. F him. Get Newton on the horn. You know, we've had him on the line here for weeks. Pull the trigger. You know, enough.
And let us also not forget that that's when we're getting some like peak Instagram Brady content too, where he's practicing and getting admonished by the Corona Nanas. Why is he out there? He's thumbing his nose at this. You know, the protocols. Where's the mask? And Brady is practicing. Our quarterback should be practicing. He's in Texas partying. Yeah, the hell with this.
And he was with Penelope at the time. And as you'll remember, it was his. They signed Newton, correct me if I'm wrong, on his anniversary with Penelope, correct?
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh, the actual anniversary?
I'm fair. Didn't we discuss this on this program?
Not on this one.
I think
that's too good. That one's too good for me to forget. I forget most everything. I would have remembered that one, and now we have it in our holster.
That's fine.
Really?
Out. I'm fairly certain that the Newton signing came on his anniversary with his wife, Penelope.
So that'd be hysterical.
Oh, that's so good.
All right. I feel like I would have remembered that, too.
That's so good. I believe Jimmy Stewart's phone. And I believe Stidham had a crack at this, and he blew it. And the injury, I think, is also part and parcel, where you look at the injury and say, you know, why are you coming down with soft tissue muscle injuries wearing a red contact jersey, never getting hit? I think the team looks at it too and says, "Yeah, we were right. We were right to have doubts about this guy. He's not ready yet." So I think Boomer's a little bit behind that, but still, you got to, you know, you can never rule anything out with this Patriots team. They will shock you at every turn. So maybe Boomer knows something we don't, or he's just behind the times. We'll continue with your thoughts here, as promised. Jake in Boston, go ahead, Jake. What do you got on this situation?
Let me add to Jimmy Stewart. Kennedy Stidham is currently at the Belichick compound with Linda and Jen right now, probably trying to pull an Aunt Becky for her husband's job back. But if Cam Newton is Superman...
Hold on. Is that Becky supposed to be Falwell? Becky Falwell? Who's Aunt Becky?
I don't know.
Becky from Full House, who just Lori went to the
I've been reading about this Becky Falwell gal. Have you read up on her?
Yeah, it's a wild,
she's nuts.
Wild
Jeez,
story.
Wow.
By the way, Jimmy Stewart's phone just went off.
Oh, good.
Not
Hold
from
on.
The usual person, but from somebody else who I trust.
Well, that's fine. According to Jimmy Stewart's phone, what?
Quote, four lost the job, unquote. That's the text.
I believe it. All right, Aunt Becky from Full House, I'm not familiar with. This Becky Falwell, I've been learning more about. Anyway, Jake in Boston, Doug, yeah, go ahead.
All right. If Cam Newton is Superman, Jarrett is submissive Stidham, because he was submissive in his actions around the team, letting Hoyer organize the little offseason workouts he didn't. He was submissive in his relationship because his wife ran his job into the ground at that wedding. He's even got a beta dog. Unlike our dog, Felger, we have the same dog, and Tom Brady's alpha pit bull. And being submissive doesn't mean you're not going to be a good quarterback. Drew Bledsoe is submissive. Matt Ryan is submissive. But submissive doesn't mean great. It doesn't mean you're out there like Pat Mahomes. It doesn't hit that next level. We know what Stidham is now. We know he's never going to be anything of substance. It's time to move on and cut bait.
Okay, I'm not cutting Jared. So that's great video you're running on the simulcast.
Just as an aside,
yeah, go ahead.
Jake, because he used to be Jake in Boston, now he's in Andover. He used to grate on me like nobody's business. I love that kid now. his calls are great.
So Murray, you think Stidham's a lost cause?
Yeah, he's just. I mean, I really bought into that hype because I had it shoved down my throat from the Patriots media cartel. He was going to be the guy, and then once they signed Newton, I was like, well, that was one big lie. That was a fallacy. And then this whole thing with Texas happened, and I do feel like he crossed Bill in some way. And now he's got soft tissue injuries at 24 years old. He's just. It already feels like this kid's projecting to be a backup, and he even sounds like a backup already the way he talks.
So again, today it was sort of a change of tune. Let's just give people that, Jimmy, real quick. First of all, play Stidham today. Just real quick. Here's Stidham today on how he's apparently fallen on the depth chart and how he views the quarterback competition. Go ahead.
It seemed like you had a little lull there, just where you weren't on the field as much, just for a small stretch of time. How much do you feel like that little stretch there sort of stunted any momentum or progress, you know, that you had made up to that point?
No, I mean, you know, there's things that happen. And, you know, sometimes you can't control everything, but, you know, now I'm you know, back on the field and excited to be back playing with the guys and everything like that. And so, you know, I just want to take the most of my opportunities that I do have and try and make the most of them. And like I said, try and continue to get better every single day. I mean, my goal has, like I said earlier, has always stayed the same, whether that be, you know, here at the end of training camp, kind of leading into the season, or you know, whether it be throughout the season or whatever it may be, you know, is really just to learn and get better. You know, I'm only in my second year, so there's a ton of room for me to grow, a lot of room to improve and learn in a lot of different areas. So that's kind of my big thing. You know, I just want to continue to learn from the guys in the quarterback room, whether it be Cam or Hoy or, you know, Jed or Josh or whoever it may be, just continue to learn from those guys and really try to, you know, help myself get better and really excel on the field every day.
Okay, so that was yesterday.
He even sounds dejected. That's a long way of saying when life hands you lemons, make lemonade.
Well, his goal now is just to get better.
Yeah.
It's just to learn. Only his second year.
A lot of room to grow.
When he was asked on August 7th, which was the first day the quarterbacks were allowed to talk, about competing for the starting job, I took a little bit of a different tone. Give us that, Jimmy.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm definitely ready. You know, I think I put in a lot of work this offseason to really improve.
Absolutely. I'm definitely ready.
It's the job is mine. I'm ready to go. Rawr.
We took out the question, but the question was, you know, are you ready to compete for the starting job? Do you feel you're ready? And absolutely, I feel I'm definitely ready. That was August 7th. Now here we are on August 28th, and it's, well, my goal is just to get better. A lot of room to grow. It's only my second year. So he's already talking like the backup.
Can I add something?
Oh, yeah, please. What does your phone have to say about this?
My phone has just said, quote, Stidham will be taken seriously in the quarterback room when he stops acting like a fan and acts more like an offensive leader.
Oh,
unquote.
Like a fan.
Oh, a fan. What does that mean? A fan of Newton, or just a fan of being there? A fan of just...
Is he in awe of like Julian Edelman, Stephon Gilmore? Like, it wasn't one of the texts that you got at one point, Jimmy. He's terrified of the defense.
Yes, that is true.
Oh, Jesus.
So he's such in awe of the defense, he can't actually be a professional about it. He's like, oh, these guys are too good. Oh, there's Stephon Gilmore back there and the McCourty brothers. Oh, I'm shook. Interception.
So
stops acting like a fan and more like an offensive leader.
Gosh darn it.
Well, I'll tell you, while this position is in flux here, you know where it's not? I would love to.
I mean, he's in awe of Newton.
I would love to tell you about what went down in Tampa today with their scrimmage, if you want to get to that.
You know what? Let's do that next. Meanwhile, again, the theme of the show, Felger and Maz Fall Tour 2020. What's it look like in Foxborough? What does it look like in Tampa? What it looks like in Tampa, you'll hear next. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com. You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I think about Brady, okay? He is having so much fun. He is loving it so much. If you saw the little interview I did with him, you know, on StreamYard, the video conference interview I did with him. Look at him smiling. I can tell you, on January 4th, when he lost to the Tennessee Titans, it was his last game ever in Foxborough. I can tell you, I spent 10 minutes with him after that game in a private room. He was not smiling that night. And he is just happy. You know, you guys probably played or heard this, that he told me this is the first time in 30 years that I have been coached. My head coach has been an offensive coach. And that's amazing. I actually went back and checked it. Yes, his high school coach for 4 years in California at Sarah High was a defensive coach. Lloyd Carr, including the redshirt year, 5 years at Michigan,
yeah,
defensive coach. And, of course, Belichick, 20 years defensive coach. So now, 1 year, his first year out of 30, he's got Arians. And the sign that this is going to be, I think, a pretty cool relationship is that, A, Bruce Arians is letting Tom Brady coach the receivers. And you know, guy, you know, their assistant coaches are not chafing at this, from what I could tell. He's going out there and talking to them and to O.J. Howard about what he would really like them to do. And that has been really eye-opening for Arians. And number
and eye-opening for Brady. Remember, Murray, we had heard that Brady was told by the Patriots coaches to just play and don't coach.
Right.
And I think the Patriots coaches were justified, because I think Brady had lost patience with the guys in New England. And, you know, it wasn't exactly constructive. I think it was more Dan Marino kind of yelling at the guys than coaching the guys. So I think there's a little bit of a downward spiral there, where Brady doesn't treat the receivers so well. The coaches say, lay off the receivers. Brady wants to coach the receivers. The coaches say, screw that. You're a player, not a coach. We'll take care of coaching the receivers. And that was part of the de-evolution there here in New England, where in Tampa now he gets to coach the receivers. So how did Brady look today, Murray?
I'm reading from Rick Stroud, TampaBay.com. This posted 52 minutes ago. Friday, Tom Brady walked out of the southwest tunnel of Raymond James Stadium, checked his footing on the soggy turf, adjusted his sweatbands, and gave a fist bump to offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich. Shadows split the field in half as the sun continued to rise and the humidity would become a story during the first series of the intra-squad scrimmage. A 16-play, 98-yard drive for a touchdown, which Brady executed flawlessly. Oh, that's what I want to hear. He goes on to say Brady in a Bucs uniform still seems odd, but this was his first time on the home sideline with cannons firing to signal his arrival. Brady was asked if he felt any butterflies taking the field. No butterflies. What it is just more excitement, he said. Unofficially, Brady went 13 of 18, passing for a Bucs 70, including that one-yard touchdown pass to tight end Cameron Brate. He had two throwaways, led the Bucs to a pair of touchdowns and a field goal in four drives against the second-team defense. Ooh, that made it move.
Meanwhile, everything you read from the Patriots offense is that they suck and blow.
Clunky. All the quarterbacks don't look that great. Kicker situation blows. Another wasted draft pick on the alt-right kicker. Like, it's a mess.
Receivers are terrible.
Right.
The only time they make a play, Nikhil Harry steps out of bounds, doesn't know where the end line is.
Right.
Like, so, you know, what they're going to have to do is do this jumbo bully ball, you know, run fullback dives up the middle because they can't do anything else.
We got a seal here and a seal there. You're like, oh, God.
There's one more Peter King cut, you know. Give me the second Peter King cut if you can, because there's divergent opinions about how good Brady's going to be. There is someone who doesn't think Brady's going to do much down there, but Peter King isn't one of them. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Stand by. Peter King 2 wasn't in the rundown. Stand by.
I thought it was. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, he's going to do great down there is what I think. He's got so many weapons.
Go ahead.
Peter King here.
Arians a couple of weeks ago had a three-hour meeting with Brady, and he just said, hey, I just want to know what you like. Let's talk about plays.
Yeah.
It's not okay, let's talk about your philosophy. What do you want to do? Do you like going more no huddle? Do you like going shotgun? It's plays. Show me plays that you like. And so, look, I don't know if they're going to win. I don't know how healthy Brady is going to be all year. I can tell you, Brady has heard everyone who has said that he won't last, or this is not going to work, or a 43-year-old quarterback has never done this. He is taking great delight in that, I can tell you. And so we'll see. But he sure looked good the 2 days I saw him, and I think the news is going to be good in Tampa.
Okay, so the motivation, I totally buy in. He's highly, highly motivated, and I think that, you know, you give someone that much talent, that much motivation, it usually works. And so I would expect Brady to go off. But not everyone believes it's a fit. You know, Arians asking what plays he wants to run. Again, not exactly happening here the last couple of years, Murray. You know, this is one of Brady's big beefs, that he lost say and pull in the offense and the ability to, you know, coach his receivers and all of that. So he's getting that in Tampa. We'll see how that all works. You know, the big boy doesn't think it's going to work.
Really?
Yes. Do we have that, Jimmy? Do we have the big boy on Brady?
Yes, that
Tampa?
Was on the rundown for this segment.
Thank you. Let's hear it then.
Prediction on Bucks.
Thank you. And number two, give me a prediction, big boy, for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I have them second in the NFC South. And I guess record-wise, I'd put them probably that would be like 10-6, 11-5. It should be enough to get them into the playoffs with one extra spot. But I don't expect them to make a deep postseason run. I see this very similar to Peyton Manning's first year in Denver. It took them to 2 years to get into a Super Bowl and 3 years to win it. I see it very similar. It's very tough.
Why?
Because it's very tough to go someplace new and win in the first year. I mean, and even Peyton had a better situation in terms of the offense tailoring to him, the weapons, the defense was really good, and Peyton couldn't win one for a while. So I'm not the biggest Arians fan. I like his offense for certain quarterbacks. I don't like the fit there. There's a lot of pieces to fit together. They won't get hot until the second half of the season, and I think it'll be too late for them to go on a run.
Wow. You don't think all the work Brady's put in and his focus and his drive is just going to – he's just going to light it up?
I mean, that's great and all, but he still has to know what his receivers are doing every single time. And I just – I don't think that's going to happen. And I think their defense is a little bit overrated. And I think that Arians doesn't run a tight enough ship. Something will go wrong there.
12-4 NFC championship game.
Okay. That's Maz's thought. What's your response to that, Murray?
Well, what I would say is that Greg should take a look at what Madden NFL 2021 has predicted for the coming season for Tom Brady. Now, because last year's simulation was pretty darn accurate. It predicted that the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl, Brady wouldn't fall off a cliff in his age 42 season, Saints would be an offensive juggernaut, and so on and so forth. Here's what they did the simulation. Tom Brady continues to defy logic. I'm reading from Yahoo Sports, throwing for 4,183 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions, while completing 68% of his passes.
Good year.
They also say the Bucs go 8-8, but still,
do they really?
It's a good year for Tom Brady, and he has an MVP quality season.
Okay.
What are Jarrett Stidham's stats this year? I want to know that.
What's
zeros across the board because he didn't play.
Right. They say Tom Brady's replacement in New England, former NFL MVP Cam Newton, huge bounce back year, finishing with 4,613 yards, 35 touchdowns,
yeah,
and completing 61% of his passes.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I missed it. They said that was Cam Newton?
That was Cam Newton, and the Patriots go 9-7 and win the AFC East once again.
Okay, the 9-7 winning the AFC East, I believe in that because I think the Bills are getting way too much run and you know all of that. Like so, I can see them winning the division at 9-7. 35 touchdowns for Cam Newton. I'm just going to look up what his MVP year. How many? You know, his career high was 35.
Right.
I think that was his MVP year. Here, Cam Newton's touchdown passes by year since he's been in the league. 21, 19, 24, 18, 35, 19, 22, 24. Like, those are pedestrian touchdown pass numbers, you know, in this day and age. 35 is obviously good, but that was sort of an aberration.
Hey,
totally. Other than Yuri threw 35, he's never thrown more than 24. They've got him throwing 35 touchdowns?
Not if they're going to be playing bully ball.
No way!
Not with these wide receivers.
Who's he going to throw them to?
Yeah.
Yeah, what receivers are going to combine with the 25-year-old rookie who's 5'9"?
So does that mean Devin Ross finishes with 11?
That makes no sense. All right, so there's all of our Brady, Stidham, Newton stuff. It's all on the table. You want to weigh in on that, you can. The Bruins, you can. They're back at it tomorrow at noon. The boycotts always draw a lot of reaction, unfortunately. So that's on the table, too, I promise. Right back to your phones on everything after McCarthy's update.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Your phone's the rest of the way, as promised. 617-779-0985. Bob and Needham on the Pats. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, guys, I don't know what you guys are watching, but you guys have them at 9 or 10 wins. I can't believe them. I have them at 5, and that might be generous. Vaz, you and I at the end of last year both agreed that the offensive line was shaky at best.
Right.
So, yeah, last year, you and I talked to you last year. You said you and I both agreed the offensive line was shaky with Mason and Cannon. They didn't have good years. So this year, who knows about when? You're losing Cannon, you're gaining Andrews. That might be a wash. The skill position players are no better, maybe worse than last year. You have two rookie tight ends. You have a question mark at quarterback. Defensively, they played great against terrible teams. They played okay against good teams, and they let Fitzpatrick look like Y.A. Tittle the last game of the year when they absolutely had to win the game. So when they needed it, they couldn't shut that guy down, which is outrageous. So
I think there's a chance they could be really bad.
I was going to say, Maz, you know, what's your thought on that?
Bob, I'm with you with the offensive line. They could be bad. You know, like, there's questions on that offensive line. Who's going to be the right tackle? We don't still know, and we can't get reports out of the camps. We can't get reports out of the camps. They draft these two tight ends, Assy, and Dalton Keene, who's getting knocked ass over tea kettle with Assy. They could blow, Mike. They could blow.
I'm sorry to go back to it, Mike. They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They had never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy. I'm telling you, Mike. I hate to go back to it, but they had him. They had him in Garoppolo.
Was that German Felger and Mass, I believe?
Yes. That's our Dutch German, yeah. Here's my rationale. Yes, what he said is all true. I mean,
I think there's a chance they could be really bad.
That it doesn't look like on paper the receiving group has gotten any better, and it sucked last year. The quarterback should be worse, you know, than last year. The offensive line's still a big question mark, and the defense lost some key personnel, so how are they going to get any better? Like, that's all fair. What I think is this, is that...
Oh, I think they could pack it in really quickly.
The second half of last year, they sucked, though. The second half of last year, that offense was bottom of the league, you know? And by the end of the year, even the defense wasn't performing. So can they be better than they were at the end of last year? And that to me is, you know, that's a lower bar, and they can do. I don't think they're a 12-4 team, even with Cam Newton. I'd be surprised if they were 12-4. But can they be a more functional team than they were at the end of last season and get better and, you know, win the division with a bad record and get a home playoff game and win that? Yes. Like, that's sort of my path. But I don't know. I'd be stunned if they were great.
Yeah, I double digits. I mean, maybe 10. I think that's maybe the high watermark for this team, 10-6, something like that. But I don't think they're going to be 5-11 bad or anything like that. And there's even other games that I looked at as automatic losses, you know, before the world went to crap, that are now, like... Oh, I could see them winning that, and that specifically the game at Seattle, because Seattle's not going to have fans at that game, so they don't have that big home field advantage without that.
Well, and it's important to note, too, Jim, I mean, the AFC blows. I mean, the division blows, but I mean, I think the conference as a whole is really, really bad. So, I mean, is 10 wins possible for this team? Absolutely. Is 10 wins, you know, going to win you this division? I'd say, you know, almost certainly 10 wins wins you this division. So they benefit from, it's a tougher schedule this year, no doubt about it, but they benefit from the fact that the AFC isn't very good around them.
So I don't love Cam Newton, and I don't love the direction of the offense, bully ball or whatever, you know, the RPO nonsense and the read option stuff I'm not into, but he is capable of great things. I mean, his ceiling is high. He could go off. And if Cam Newton gets hot and goes off, then maybe you are, you know, that kind of team. But I think that's what it would take. Chris in Boston on the NBA boycotts. Chris, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
As much as I need basketball and all sports to have something to watch, something to do, I'm 100% in support of the boycott and for these guys, you know, having something to, you know, stand up for. But my question is, if it wasn't a bubble, would the owners have allowed the guys to not come out to a full arena with paying customers?
It's a good question. My sense is yes. My sense is,
I mean, given that the NBA, I think, carries themselves anyway as maybe the most progressive of the professional sports leagues in America, I think that they would have given that a thumbs up and said, go right ahead.
I mean, I think the NFL ownership, and from Adam Silver on down, has bent over backwards, has been incredibly supportive. And so I think, generally speaking, that they would have supported them. I mean, it would have been a lot harder. I mean, it's a fair point. A building full of paying customers and the concessions and the parking, all that, you lose all that money. It would have been a different dynamic. But I think, generally speaking, the owners support the players in this stuff.
Oh, totally. And
so we will continue with that. You want to talk about the boycotts and politics and sports, by all means. The Bruins set to play tomorrow at noon. The Celtics set to play Sunday at 1. So we do have the start time for that Celtics series. Jimmy Stewart's phone. Do you have anything more on the rest of the series, or is it just game one?
Just have game one right now, and that is officially on the NBA website and tweeted by my Boston Celtics.
So you're saying you beat all those entities?
You better believe it.
Jimmy Stewart's phone had it first. Is that really true?
Yeah, he had it like before.
First person I saw.
Is that true?
Yes.
I've had a hell of a 45 minutes.
That is tremendous. The very latest from Jimmy Stewart's phone. And your thoughts on all that stuff going on in the world of sports with your calls at 617-779-0985. Back to you after this.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I didn't want to talk about it before the game because it's so hard. Like, to just keep watching it. That video, if you watch that video, you don't need to be black to be outraged. You need to be American and outraged. And how dare the Republicans talk about fear? We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps getting, it keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution.
Doc Rivers from the other night. Again, the video I keep finding outrageous is those cops in Kenosha letting that kid with the rifle over his shoulder. I've been told it's not an assault rifle, whatever that F that thing is, with that big-ass rifle over his shoulder, walk down the street and away from the scene of the crime. That, to me, outrages me. You know, the other one, I'm not excusing the other one, believe me. But as an American, I find that outrageous. I find that one the worst. Those cops down there aligning themselves with these kids with assault rifles, give me a different name, whatever, with those automatic rifles.
AR-15s, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, the cops siding up and aligning themselves with the punk-ass kids with automatic rifles coming from over the state line to what? Keep the peace? Right. Exactly. you know, that I found outrageous. Again, the scene, the video of that kid walking down that street and away from the cops with his hands up, holding the rifle after there was just a shooting behind him. There's someone down, dead on the street. The cops know it, that there's been a shooting. And they're coming down the street, and the kid's walking the other way with his hands up and the rifle around his shoulder. And they, what, tell him to get the hell out of there? I think that's what they did. The kid was basically giving himself up, and the cops didn't even stop him, let him go. Oh, gross. That, to me, was the grossest part of it, of the whole thing. And that's, frankly, when the boycotts and the walkouts started. So I think those NBA players were equally as outraged.
Yeah, and I get it. And through the, just going to the Doc Rivers stuff was something that's, it's, you know, it's powerful to watch. It's tough to watch. And that's one, you know, after you hear that guy talk and talk about the situation and inequality. Also, again, a son of a cop, like, you know, that there's still people out there like, you know, the yeah buddism and the this is theater. And it's like, you think he's like making it up? Like, I don't know. It's a crazy time. I will say this, just for a juicy factor, though. One thing I'd love to know more about these guys have had the strike, and now they're going to get back to action this weekend. There's something bubbling about LeBron James that I find interesting. So it was first I saw this. So Stephen A. Smith apparently said earlier today that a lot of the younger players didn't really like how LeBron James handled himself, and he was like above them is how he carried himself. Shocker.
You mean in these player meetings the last
these
couple of days?
Yeah, in these player meetings, and then Incarcerated Bob, who you always got to take with a grain of salt.
No, I don't. I take him by full stock. Jimmy's phone is better, but I'll take it. Go ahead.
Heard Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart had major issues with the way LeBron addressed players during this meeting, hashtag NBA playoffs. And I don't know if there's any player in the league that's carried himself better with everything that's going on with the situation than Jaylen Brown. And if that guy's pissed, like, oh, you got to be a major a-hole.
So, yeah, you know, I always thought that LeBron was a little bit of the Pied Piper. Like, a lot of guys followed him, as you would imagine. So I wonder if he's lost some of that support or whatever. So, anyway, that's something worth following. Back to your phones here. As promised, Scott's been waiting in Southie. Go ahead, Scott.
So, okay, so you grew up in Wisconsin, right, where you played goalie for 10 years of shutout hockey, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you should know better than anybody, what the people in politics are like in Wisconsin. So normally I'm really succinct. You just got to give me like a minute real quick. So I'm going to try and be as apolitical as possible. But some of the things you said, I think you need to be cognizant of the fact that you're kind of politically leaning yourself. And I called in earlier about a few months ago about COVID. And you guys unanimously agree with me without knowing my politics that everything was COVID had been weaponized politically. So some of my points I want to make real quick, you're talking about the NBA should be striving towards some sort of change in Wisconsin right now. Do you know the mayor of Kenosha, Democrat, the governor of Wisconsin, Democrat, and then Murray's made two great points today. He said that...
Scott, what does that have to do with anything? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you've made no point now. You've made 0 points.
Well, Murray's point was that where these are swing states, all right, and everything seems to be a binary decision at this point. Why can't we condemn the vigilantism? Why can't we condemn the fact that, you know, there's looting and rioting being allowed by politicians? Why can't we condemn what's wrong and be for what's right? Like, why can't we look at it like that? I'll hang up and we'll see your thoughts.
When did I support the rioters? I said call a riot if you want. Yeah, there were rioters. Yes. Have I supported rioters? Have I supported people looting businesses? When have you heard me say that? I haven't.
No, not once. And that is, and I will second that until I'm blue in the face. You know, like that. That's something. You know, I can fully stand for, you know, Black Lives Matter, and yes, I'm for equality and what these guys are. We all should be fighting for. But you know, like rioting and destruction of society? Yeah. Like, no. Like, I'm 1,000% against that, too.
Right.
But I'm 1,000% punk-ass kids coming from over the state line to, quote-unquote, defend our property rights and keep the peace. It's not even your town.
Right.
It's not even where you're from. All that kid in Illinois wanted to do was play with his stupid gun and play cop.
Yeah.
That's all that he wanted to do, and he did, and he shot 3 people.
And so, we've had our battles in the past, Mike, about, like, you know, militias, and I'm very pro-gun and all that kind of stuff. But in this case, I'm with you in that it's like, dude, this ain't your fight. You're, like, from another state. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, I'm here to save America. I'm this 17-year-old kid with a machine gun. Like, Like, dude, just stay. What are you doing? Like,
go home, play Call of Duty.
Right. Like, exactly.
Seriously.
That's all the kid wanted to do. He wanted to play cop and play with his gun.
Well, he's going there looking to kill someone or take matters into his own hands. A 17-year-old kid? What?
So, I mean, that ain't the way to fight the rioters. Put the cameras on and track down the rioters and bring them to justice. And if the government's not doing that and you're not happy with that, then vote them out of office. That's how you address that problem. You don't arm yourself with automatic rifles and come over and try and, frontier justice. That is no. 1,000% against that. So I'm 1,000% against both. And I'm happy to track down the rioters, happy to arrest the rioters, happy to bring them to justice. And if the government's not doing it, Democrat, Republican, or whatever, vote them out and get in people who will. That's the process. That's how we do it. And that's how you should do it, I think. I don't know. Or otherwise, just have the 17-year-old high school dropout arm himself with the automatic rifle to go keep the peace. Yeah, that's great. That's a now. That's like become the national hero there to some people. Here's an update from McCarthy. 90 seconds, no commercials, back with all your wonderful phone calls in the final hour of an agenda-free Friday.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.